Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
MMA.
Stands MMA.
Martial arts. That's
MMA.
Saw.
MMA.
Yeah.
Worst rap song ever, as we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 41 post-fight show here on MMAfighting.com. Hope you guys enjoyed what seemed like the longest event ever. I mean, it just seemed at times like this is a very long day and a very long card, but it's over, and it ended with Marvin Vettori getting the victory over a surprisingly much more game than I thought he would be, Paulo Costa. So props to Paulo Costa. That was a great fight. Great main event. It delivered to the level of what this insane fight week was really all about, if we're being honest. And we're here to talk to all of you about what happened. You guys can join in on the conversation. I am Mike Heck. We got the Prince of Positivity, Alexander Kaylee, in the building.
Are we going to talk... It's been a long day. Are we going to talk Bellator at all as well? Bellator?
Yeah.
We can.
All right. I'm sending out a fire tweet. I got to get my hashtags right, guys. I got to have my... Okay. All right.
Yeah, just write, we'll dabble in Bellator. No,
I'm giving it equal billing. Equal billing.
All right.
Vegas 41.
Equal billing. And we have E. Casey Lydon in here. Casey, how are you doing, my man?
I just saw 6,000 fights, and I'm still coherent because it ended with a freaking barn burner of a fight. And so it ended well. It ended well. So I'm good. I mean, good mood.
It was a great fight. The most important question of all, because I don't know the answer to this. Did I win the picks?
Oh, God. I did so bad.
Gosh. I think I won, right?
I will check right now. Hold on. Let's make this official. I will check right now.
This is a very big deal right now.
It was ugly for all of us early on through the prelims. It was not great for the MMA fight.
I don't think anybody got above 500, but I think I got one like completely perfect pick, and that might have put me over the top.
All right, according
to official ruling,
topologies. No, Jed Meshew won.
Of course, Jed Meshew.
Evil Jed Meshew. 8 out of 14, so just above 500. But yes, 8 out of 14. He had two perfects, actually. He had two perfect picks, so.
Jed Meshew wins again.
I finished in dead last. I was in dead last on our picks.
Gosh darn it.
The prelims got me good.
Well, let's start with this main event. It was fun. Vettori came out looking intense. Paulo Costa looked like he was about to pick up a Buick and throw it through the cage. Of course, Costa just eyeballs Vettori the entire time. He sprints to the cage, and then he gets in. Security's got to separate him. This is exactly what we had hoped for. And then the two guys went in there and had 25 minutes in absolute war. So, AK, your thoughts on the main event and Marvin Vettori's hard-fought win over Paulo Costa?
That was a war. You know, that felt like a long fight at the top of a long card, but like in a good way. You know, it wasn't a pretty fight. You know, it wasn't a pretty fight, but not all ugly fights are bad. This was an ugly fight in like the best way. It was just so nasty and gritty, and like everything was hard hitting. It felt like they threw so many shots and connected that would have landed. That would have ended other fights. Especially, Vettori definitely took like a clean head kick. He was eating those rib roasters you guys are always talking about. Like, I thought any one of those body shots was going to drop him at any second. You know what I mean? I thought it's one of those things like you keep taking them, you keep taking them, and it seems like you can take the whole fight. It just takes one to just completely put you down. I thought it was coming at any moment. I mean, somehow he made it through and persevered and won the fight. It was just awesome. And it's rare that you have a fight that's that entertaining, but also feels like it felt longer than 25 minutes, or even counting the breaks, longer than like 35, however long a 5-round fight actually takes in real time. It felt longer than that, but it felt so fun to watch. So that was a unique main event. I don't know if I have a comparison to that right now, but right now I think one of the best fights we've seen this year.
Oh yes.
Yes, I would agree with that. It was a great fight. And I was on the live blog for that fight. And before the first punch was even thrown, I already had like a paragraph and a half written just due to the shenanigans before the fight. So it was an excellent live blog. These two guys delivered. It was an incredible fight. Casey, your thoughts on the action? Because you were right. Costa targeted the body, which he's very effective with. Mm-hmm. Vettori is as tough as they come. He's got the quote-unquote blockhead, a la Israel Adesanya, as he liked to state so poetically. But like Michael Bisping said, you can only take so many shots to the body before they start, you know, really affecting you and can take you out of the fight. And there are times, especially later on, especially in that fifth round, where I was like, man, he can't take many more of these. And Vettori very smartly clinched up and just sort of rode out the rest of the fight very wisely, in my opinion. And it was just a great fight, man. Your thoughts on it and the performances from both guys?
The positives, first off, great performance from both fighters, obviously. Just we saw one of the fights of the year tonight, this afternoon. I'm just kind of soaking it all in. It was just a good, fun, gritty, sweaty fight with just hunks of bones and muscles being thrown across the cage. Now, my prediction coming into this fight, I was the kind of the weird one. I said that I picked Costa to win by actually body shots in the second round, and I don't feel bad of that pick. What I underestimated was we knew Marvin Vettori had a block head, but he just has a block body. I mean, he like Bisping said, those feel like Costa was like slamming into tie pads, full speed, full technique, and Vettori was just eating him. And I don't understand how he never really even crumpled, never even did one of those, oh, you know. It was just dang incredible fight. And Bisping, I mean, commentators say way too much. This guy's as tough as they come. I will give that to Vettori. Vettori is in that category. He is as tough as they come. Nothing really rocked him. A couple of things slowed him down a bit, but nothing really rocked him. The guy's in incredible shape. Bisping said toward the fourth round, he said, thank God these men didn't have to dehydrate themselves, because what we're seeing here is kind of what a lot of fighters have the full potential to give us in the cage, but because of the dehydration process and everything, you know, sometimes we don't get that fight. But I feel like we got, in terms of just pure excitement and just output, just the maximum from each of these fighters. So round of applause for both men. And just great fight, and good on Vettori. I actually scored a draw, but we can discuss that later.
How did you score that a draw?
Two rounds each, and then one. No,
yeah,
wait.
The round. The what was
three rounds for Costa. Three rounds for Costa.
Yeah, and because the fight was scored three rounds to two rounds for Vettori, right? With the point deduction. Yes.
Yeah, that's how I scored it.
Yeah, and the round, I assume, is the reason to me why Costa lost the fight was that stupid guillotine he went for. I think in the third round, a round that he was winning, and he went for that guillotine. Both men were super sweaty. Vettori easily slipped out of it and finished the last 90 seconds of that round on top. He didn't do too much damage, But I felt, I guess the judges and most of the media members went with giving Vettori that round. But up until then, I thought Costa had won that round. And even though he didn't, he lost the guillotine tip, Vettori didn't do anything on top. He just kind of, there was just a little couple peppering shots. There was no damage done. And I felt that all the work that Costa did up until that guillotine choke, until the last 90 seconds, I thought that still won the round. I get why people have Vettori taking that round. I'm not like, ugh, but that's why it gave it, that's why it would have been a 3-2 for Costa and then being a draw with the point deduction. But I'm not screaming Robbie or like, you know, right, anything like that. I'm just, that was my interpretation of that round. But I get it. It was a dumb guillotine attempt. There was no reason to go for it. And that sucked that Costa did that.
Yeah, it was. I thought Vettori was probably winning at that point. But I mean, listen, it just depends on how you scored. I thought Vettori landed quite a few, definitely way more. Costa, when he landed, I mean, especially when he was going to the body kicks were adding up. But
it's Vettori, one of those fights too.
I think Vettori landed the cleaner shots for sure. Yeah, I mean, obviously the takedown was big. The ground and pound was big. It kind of like evened things up. And then, yeah, him going for the guillotine or the darts, whatever he was trying to go for at the time. It kind of just foiled all that momentum.
And I agree. Like, this is one of those fights where I think statistically it looked like Vettori had a lot more significant strikes. But I felt that all the if there were like regular strikes, significant strikes, and really significant strikes, I feel like Costa won the really significant strikes by a lot. And but either way, super good fight. I have no issue with Vettori taking the decision. And I'm not even like gonna say anyone was wrong. I'm not even gonna try to sell it or anything. But no, it was just a great fight, man. I was super excited because that card kind of sucked, and the main event saved it. That's all.
this is what fully hydrated, or I should say more hydrated, undepleted bodies look like, you know, the way they can perform. Because I guarantee if this happens, I don't want to say guarantee, I think there's a much more likely, if this happens at 185, Vettori might get knocked out, or vice versa, or Costa is drained and he gets
drained, you know,
pound and pounded or something. Yeah.
Like, it's a different fight. It's a different fight at 85. Yeah,
and as you mentioned, this is the pre-fight Q&A and preview, Casey, that 20 pounds is the biggest difference between divisions, 185 and 205. That's a lot. That's a massive, massive difference. And again, it could have been a similar fight at 185, but I think the likelihood of either guy getting finished was so much higher. So I hope fighters see this. I know it's not going to change anything. I mean, I'm not naive, but I do hope people realize, like, man, when you fight at a higher weight, as long as, you know, it's a little more, so you're not like tiny, like, you know, 155, 170, whatever it is. Like, if you're extreme weight cutting, I feel like it has to be worse for you in the long run. And I hope people see this as evidence of that, but I don't know. I think it'll just be an outlier, and we're all just not going to, you know, we'll remember all the controversy, but not necessarily any of the benefits they might have had from not cutting down to 185.
This is one of those events where, I mean, oftentimes, I don't really want to hear from Dana White, but today would have been a good day to hear from Dana White. Like, just to hear his response to Paulo Costa and the fight. Like, if Costa's performance sort of negated the BS throughout the fight week, I mean, who knows? I would have loved to hear what he has to say, but unfortunately, probably have to wait till next week when they're in Abu Dhabi, and Jose, I believe, is already on his way out to Abu Dhabi to get you ready for UFC 267. So, great main event. Vettori wins. We'll see what's next for him. There's some interesting fights at 185 for him. He's not going to the belt anytime soon, but a good win nonetheless.
Wait, before we jump off real quick, a big talking point before the fight was Costa's going to lose, and then the UFC is going to cut him. They're going to, like, we're done with this. We don't want to deal with his shenanigans. I said, that ain't happening, no matter what. After that fight, that ain't happening. What do you think? I mean, there was a lot of discussion about that.
I was definitely more critical of Costa's like behavior. Like, I'm still like annoyed by it, but I didn't feel he inconvenienced the UFC that much. And again, he's probably moving up to 205 anyway.
Yeah.
So it's no big sweat off their back, right? It's unfortunate. I think it's unprofessional. It makes me think less of Costa. Do I think it makes the UFC think less of him? No. And especially after this performance, again, we said Anthony Rumble Johnson was a guy who came with way more baggage, had more weight issues than Costa has had. And they kept him around for a long time after he finally moved up to 205. So is Costa as good as him? I don't know. Maybe not. But he's been in some very entertaining. I think he's almost always in entertaining fights, except when he got smoked by Izzy. And I'm sure that was entertaining.
Which was entertaining.
Some people
just on, he was on
in another way. Yeah. I think as long as he goes up to 205, I see him being there for him there for a while. Yeah.
I understand the Rumble Johnson comparison, but we have to understand that those are in two completely different times in the sport. Business was at a much different place back then than it is now. This is pre-contender series. This is pre-looking for a fight. This is pre-short notice calls, pre-Apex, pre-pandemic, where
pre-cards UFC
has
every
no issue
week.
Cutting these guys. Yeah, they have no issue cutting these guys in lieu of 10-10 contracts coming off the contender series. Like they could do that. Much different time now. I will say this. I don't think Costa gets cut because of this fight. Had he gotten drubbed out, that was my point. If he goes out there and just gets rolled by Marvin Vettori after all this, then yes, I think he would have. And there were points early in that fight where Costa was breathing heavy. Even in the first round, I was like, oh boy, this is not good. This could be really, really bad. And Costa just kept going, which is a testament to him and his heart and his grit. And good on him, man. It was just a great fight. I don't think it negates everything, but it definitely leaves us with a better taste in our mouths than we had probably coming in. So I don't think we've got bonuses yet, but
no, we should,
any
we
guesses? Should, I mean, oh, by the way, since this is a 205-pound fight, could that fight win fight of the night, or are they just taking that?
I think it
table?
Should. I think because it wasn't technically like a miss or anything.
He didn't
like
miss weight. They didn't miss weight.
Nobody missed anything.
He didn't miss weight.
I think it'll be eligible.
He gets 50 G's for this?
He should.
Oh, I think he will be. I think he will. I think he will.
Or Vettori. Or actually, Vettori might get the 400, which is good for him. Good for him.
Look, I hated how Paulo, the genius Costa, went about this. But if the contracts were changed, and he gave up the 20%, which does make it seem like a weight miss, but technically it's not. And the contracts were changed
before the weigh-ins. It wasn't changed after the weigh-ins. Yeah,
I know it sucks, but he should be eligible. I think it's fair if he's eligible for a bonus. And again, I'm only saying that obviously because the fight was so amazing. If it was a boring fight or something, then he got like a big knockout, I'd probably go the other way with it. But the fight was awesome. Yeah, I think he's eligible for another 50 G's. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. That was a great fight. The only other one that probably could contend would be Mason Jones, David Onama. That was a really good fight.
That was a good
fight. Incredible fight. So that might end up getting it.
Otherwise,
what do you guys
performance?
Yeah, what do you guys think? Bonuses,
I'm going to go
Jeff
Molina. I'm going to go Caceres. I thought Caceres is – I'm going to definitely go Caceres. And Rodriguez, Gregory Rodriguez. I think that was pretty dang good. Am I missing anything? Wait.
Gumariano.
There were some good finishes.
Jai Herbert. How do you say his name?
I think Jai Herbert. Yeah.
Jai Herbert.
Not Jai Herbert, as we wish it was. You know, it is Jai Herbert. Jai Herbert.
You know what? Jai Herbert and. Jeez. I don't know. There's a lot of options, actually, for performances, honestly.
I'm going to say Herbert and Rodriguez, and then Vettori Costa fight of the night.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
Ah, man,
Mike.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I don't know what they're gonna do. Do they give the main event the fight of the night? Do they penalize Paul Costa and give the full 100K to Marvin Vettori? That would say a lot.
That the bonuses are in. The bonuses are in. Keep going.
Boy.
I'll read them. This is wild. This is wild. Go ahead.
Oh boy. Let's go. Just read them out.
Fight of the night, Park versus Rodriguez. I don't mind that. It's a pretty good fight. But surprising.
Over Jones and Onama? What? That's wild.
Yeah. Over Jones and Onama. I don't know. And then performances, Caceres. Okay. And Vettori. The very rare decision win performance bonus. That is clearly sending a message to Costa. 100%. Not that he doesn't deserve it. I think Vettori does deserve performance bonus, but you never see them give performance bonuses for decision wins. That's
a competitive decision win. I've seen performances go to the dominant decision wins, but a competitive decision win. That's
that's a very clear sign. That's the clearest sign we've seen yet that they were not happy with And by the way, Dana White is apparently there.
All right.
Yes, I think Brett's talking to him. I don't know if he's going to speak to the media as a whole, but he said the fight tonight, according to Brett Okamoto, this fight tonight only happened because of Marvin Vettori. He says he doesn't have a reason why Paulo Costa came in heavy, but gives a lot of credit for, quote, fighting his ass off tonight. So there you go. That's classic Dana, just right down the middle. Takes a shot, gives Costa a little bit of praise, and we're right smack in the middle. So I guess Dana is going to the presser, so we'll see what's going on.
And I'm trying to see what the reaction to the Vettori. So Vettori got a performance bonus, and Caceres got a performance bonus, and then they gave fight of the night to Rodriguez and Jung Park. Excuse me.
I think it's interesting. It's they didn't give Nick. I can't say his last name. The guy who fought Ike.
Nigo Mariano. Yeah.
He didn't get any. He didn't win a performance bonus, even though I thought that should have been a no contest. Honestly, but that's but since it was ruled that a knockout, I felt he should have gotten the performance bonus. But the rules for performance bonuses make zero sense to me. Like the logic each week, it's the most inconsistent thing in the sport, to be honest.
I see a lot of people saying thank you. I see a comment, what? Thank you, Dana, for not rewarding that cheater. So a lot of people kind of okay with him not getting a bonus. So, like I said, cheating. I don't know how I feel about it.
He paid the penalty for it. It's like he's. Whatever. I got it. Everyone's going. They're going. Yeah. Everyone. MMA fans saw an amazing fight and they still want to be grumpy. Good. Whatever.
Yeah. the one thing we can get from Dana at the presser is Costa is going to be a 205 pounder moving forward.
I'm sorry. Which is
no surprise. Okay, yep. Costa's staying at 205.
Dana says. Dana says.
Well, you know what? They're the ones that make the contracts. Paulo says that he wants to fight at 185. The UFC goes, no, you're fighting at 205, and that's the UFC's discretion. So, if Dana says it, that's probably It's the only thing that makes sense.
How often does that happen, though? How often do we know that has happened, where they've actually told someone, no, you're fighting at this weight class? Like, I guess we can assume in some cases it happened, but as far as we know, we don't know, like, when it's actually happened, right?
No, but you can be – they fight for Dana and the UFC. They're the ones that make the contracts, you know. It's not –
We've seen Dana say before, like, we've seen it all the time. And then they go like, we talked about it. And they said they've changed up their camp and they changed up their diet. And I'm giving them another chance to this weight class. So, I mean, that could easily happen with Costa.
But honestly, don't we want to see Costa at 205? I feel like that's.
Yes. Yes. I hope it does better.
It just feels like Costa versus.
Does put a foot down.
Yeah. Yeah. Costa versus Anthony Smith. You know, it'd be fun. You know, Anthony Smith, a former 85er, you know, things like that.
Thiago Santos.
Yeah, 85ers who have had a lot of success at 205. Who knows? Yeah. Costa might be one of them. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Jones will never main event again. Amanda Nunes will never main event again.
Exactly.
They both main evented again. So so that was the main event. Fun fight. Interesting co-main event. It was the Grant Dawson show for 10 minutes, and then Ricky Glenn bounces back with a big third round. And ends up getting a 10-8 on two of the judges' scorecards and gets a draw. Now, I don't have an issue with the 10-8. No issue whatsoever. I was a little puzzled by the 10-8. I didn't see it. I thought it was a dominant round. I didn't see a 10-8. What I think gave Ricky Glenn the 10-8 more than his actual round was after the round.
That's it.
You got to get up, bro. You got to get up. He made everybody pay attention to Grant Dawson on the ground being labored. James Krause gets in there. He lifts Grant Dawson up. He gives him a hug. Grant Dawson gives the thumbs up with his back against the cage. But Ricky Glenn just calling attention to that moment, saying, you got to get up. He got everyone's attention, including the judges. And two of them were like, you know what? He's right. That's a 10-8, bro. The veteran savvy, Ricky, the gladiator Glenn, with that, just not even in the fight. The last 10 seconds after the horn sounds, that's what gave him the draw, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Well done.
Showmanship. Showmanship should be an unwritten part of the criteria. Showmanship.
Yeah.
Drama.
We always see that after the fight's over, we hear the coaches, raise your arms, look like you won the fight, don't look tired. And this was just, this was kind of a little different, but Ricky Glenn going, because if Ricky Glenn just lets go, walks away, holds his arms up, it just looks like Grant Dawson's tired, that's all. But the fact that he said, get up, and Grant Dawson's like, It was just great. I scored a 10-8 before that, but I think that really sealed the deal. And that, I definitely agree that was a 10-8 round. And the judges and Ricky Glenn, sold it. You're 100% correct, Mr. Heck.
Thank you. Wow. All right. Jessica Rose Clark comes back with the win. It wasn't. Wasn't one to write home about.
Workmanlike,
you got it done.
Workmanlike.
Get that winner's bonus. Get that winner's bonus.
Oh, real quick on the co-main event. As much as I want to draw, it freaking sucks that the only real winners are the UFC because both fighters only get their show money and they don't get like any of their win money. And I think that sucks. Mm-hmm. But former union and change those rules, guys. So otherwise,
agreed. Alex Caceres wins. I think, was that the only one who picked Alex Caceres in our picks? But I did. So. Trinaldo split decision after losing a point. We talked about Nogumarianu. Quick first round finish. Gregory Rodriguez, good comeback win in that second round because he was in deep trouble against Jun Yong Park. Mason Jones, David Onama, incredible fight. Props to David Onama. Just less than a week's notice, comes in and puts on a classic. I can't wait to see what he does at 145.
So talented.
Yep. Jamie Pickett, first UFC win. Again, not a tremendous fight. Jai Herbert, first UFC win. Kama Worthy, interesting. Someone tweeted me, and I don't know if anybody else heard this who was watching very closely, but apparently, like, after the finish, Kama Worthy said to the referees, like, basically had a Lethal Weapon moment where he's like, I'm 35, I'm too old for this shit kind of a thing. And so we'll see where he goes from there. Jeff Molina, great win. Definitely somebody to watch at 125 pounds. Yeah. Randa Marcos with a fire. She looked good. That was a clear
win. Saved her job.
Nicely done.
Saved her job.
Incredible. She sure did.
11-11.
Martinez kicked things off with a nice performance over Zviad Lazicvili. Things got a little hairy for Mr. Martinez. Yeah, as the dog.
As an underdog.
An undefeated fighter. But good win for Jonathan Martinez. He's a good fighter.
I don't give gambling advice, but I will tell people, look at people's pre-big show records. Please, if you're – I know us with undefeated guys. I know it looks cool. Up until he was in the LFA – Lazicvili, I think he started off like 8-0, all against guys with 0-0 records. So that was a big time. Now the two guys he beat in LFA were pretty good, but guys, you got to watch for that stuff. So I'm glad Jonathan Martinez won because I actually picked something right for once.
It was competitive. Yeah, it was such a long time ago, but that was a competitive fight, right?
Martinez. Yeah, yeah. But I think a lot of people without like I thought because this guy's a big wrestling reputation. They thought, oh, he's just going to take him down. Okay. He's going to submit him and. That was a stand-up fight for the most part, and John Martinez looked great.
I'm trying to see what Paulo Costa is saying right now. Says he believes Barbatory won the first round. No, he's not going to make it to leave right now. Oh. Second round, referee took 1 point from the card.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. Yeah.
The third, fourth, and fifth round, I won clearly, he says. I don't understand that. Why they give the victory to Marvin Vittori? Congratulations for Marvin. He did a great job, but... Costa feels like he won rounds 3, 4, and 5, which I don't agree with, but what can you do?
I had Costa, but I did not have him winning round 5. I didn't have him winning round 4. Did you have him winning round 5?
I had him winning round five.
Okay.
I had him winning this. He won the second. Yeah. Technically, it was 9-9. I gave the 9-9 second, and I gave Costa the fifth.
Okay. And so really the only round that –
Did you guys hear
– debate any disagreement is round 3. That's really any
– Is round 3.
Yeah. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Did you guys hear any warning? Did you guys hear a warning before he took the point?
But the point, from what Herzog was saying, he said he was warning him about grabbing Vittori's gloves.
Yes. Did you guys hear any of that, though? Like, did you guys hear that on the broadcast?
I was live blogging, so I wasn't really paying attention too much to what the referee was saying. But Herzog's one of the best in the business. So if he says that he warned Costa, I completely believe that he did.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah,
I actually disagree with the point deduction, but I thought the reason why is because if you watched the replay, I think when he was throwing the kick, he had his hand out, which is normal. Vittori was moving in, and like they kind of ran into each other when he was having his hand out for a kick. It's okay, you deducted a point. I didn't really agree with it. I didn't think the earlier warning was maybe loud enough. I didn't see. I was paying pretty close attention, and I didn't see any warning. And Herzog is still the best ref. I just didn't agree with that, but he's still the best ref.
He took two points.
I know
that.
Yeah.
Do you know how I know this fight is not a robbery? Just looking at the comments, we have people from both sides saying a draw is crazy, and we have people saying Costa winning is crazy. So thank you, commenters, for I think the fact that you have two sides while saying the other side is crazy shows, I guess, it's pretty then the call was fair, because it's obviously divided.
It's a great fight.
Controversial. I don't even call it controversial. Controversial. I mean, we're talking about it. It's a controversial decision, sure. But robbery, I don't think so.
I wouldn't do the robbery.
The point deduction stinks, but like at least in my card, it didn't affect the fight because I still had Vettori winning three of the rounds. It would have been 48-47 with the point. Right. You know what I mean? Because Costa still would have won the round. He just would have got one extra point and he still would have lost the fight in my eyes. But so there you go. That's the UFC card. We should talk, however, about Fyodor Emelianenko with the walk-off. Everything about, like, I watched it on my computer, kind of like on the side eye, but I was listening to it. Everything about that fight was great. Tim Johnson's walk-up. By the way, Rick Derringer. I mean, where's the Rick Derringer version of Real American? The Hulk Hogan theme song. Come on now.
Yeah. The acoustic what was version. That? It was like the folk version, the campfire version.
What was that? That was horrible. Like,
something
I
got lost.
Whoever tweeted from the MMA fighting account that he's coming out to Hulk Hogan's theme song, I rewound it just so I could see it. And then I heard it. I'm like, what is this? This is terrible. Great song selection, but just like the wrong version. If he came out to the actual one, that would have been just amazing. And then Fedor gets in there, bolts him with a combination, puts him out, walk off KO. I mean, this is the stuff that dreams are made of right here. In Russia, in Moscow. I mean, what an amazing moment for Fedor Emelianenko, AK. Do you think this is how – what were your thoughts on the performance, first of all?
The whole atmosphere of the card was really cool. It felt like it felt – you know, we always criticize the UFC for when they go to a different place, a different country, different region, anything. It just everything feels the same. It doesn't feel like you're somewhere different. So while this card wasn't full of barn burning fights, in fairness, I think if you look at just the quality of the fights themselves, they were okay. I mean, there were some good showcase performances like Usman Nurmagomedov, but overall the fights not that much to write home about. Atmosphere was great. Atmosphere was great. They had a very good translator. Not a great interviewer, but excellent translation, good energy. It really felt like you were watching a big deal. Like if this was, you know, if you're tuning into Bellator for the first time because you're like, oh, cool, they're going to Russia, I want to see what that's like. You got a real experience. You got a real like, wow, it's really different. This really feels like a different product. So I really like that aspect of it. And of course, when it came to the main event, it paid off big time. There was just such a the way they filmed the walkout and everything was so dramatic. And Fedor is not going to do anything crazy on a walkout. So just the atmosphere does a lot of the heavy lifting. And he was as stoic as always, barely moved. I think the only gesture he made was he did, you know, the sign of the cross when he stepped into the cage. And that was it. No pomp and circumstance, very powerful, loud, classical, you know, Russian music, which was cool. The crowd, you could sense their awe. And that's a great moment. That's something that you can't manufacture in MMA. So it was a cool entrance, short fight, which is probably for the best right now. Exciting highlight reel KO. Who knows what's going to happen to Fedor in his next fight, if that is his last fight, but he definitely snuck in one more highlight and in Moscow in front of all these Russian fans. So it was a very cool moment. I like the whole feel of the card, even if the fights themselves were mostly forgettable.
It's still one of the best knockouts of his career. That was up there with the Arlovski knockout, the Tim Sylvia knockout, the Brett Rogers knockout, you go back to Pride, you know, so many. It was just man, he's so fast. He's 45 and speed kills in the sport. Speed kills. Whew. Yep. And the accuracy on those just, they feel like wild looping hooks, man. But those all hit, boom, right on the chin on Tim Johnson. And Tim Johnson, while he's not maybe, you know, a top 10, you know, world beater, he's always still a tough out. And the fact that it went down that easy. Like, and Tim Johnson has been great in his Bellator run. Had a very competitive five-round decision loss for the interim heavyweight belt for Bellator. Just, man, it's fun seeing Fedor. He just has that aura. Have you worked a Fedor fight, either you guys?
No.
Like, bummer. Yeah, it's he's that guy, like.
Did I hear Esther?
Esther.
What?
Shh.
I thought you were talking about Fedor. No, I want to hear her Fedor thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no guy, you don't want
to
see this.
He has to.
He just has. But one time, he just has an aura. Sorry, like when he walks into a room, he just has an aura. Like a few fighters had that. I feel like Anderson Silva, Conor McGregor, actually, Ronda, Brock Lesnar, John Jones. Like when he walks in the room, it's just like everyone's like, oh, everyone just kind of shuts up. Fedor, no matter his up and downs in his career, always had that, and that was one of the. I feel very fortunate. I've been at very many Fedor fights and got to film him backstage and, you know, see him in the hotels and like that. So it was just, it was cool. It was cool seeing him go up, have that type of victory. And hope, I don't know if he's going to probably have one more fight, but I don't know.
Mike, you know bonus Bellator's on to the next one. Bader, right?
What,
Bader right rematch, now? Right?
You got
to
do
bonus
it.
On to the next
They're
one.
They're
going
to do it.
Right? Bader
They're
going to
do it.
Yeah.
100%. Fedor's teammate is going to step aside. He's going to step away and let the man get his shot. Fight Bader, final fight of his career. He either retires the Bellator heavyweight champion or he retires on a loss to the guy who is the heavyweight champion of the world. So either way, Fedor gets his moment. Do it in a big arena. It's got to be in San Jose, right? You got to do it in San Jose, full arena. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do it in Mohegan. You just can't.
Well, it has to be full crowd. It definitely has to be, you know, no half empty quarter, you know, size crowd. It needs to be full ring. Moscow will be the best still. If his final fight, like, they sell it as the final fight. This was never sold as the final fight, right? It was just.
No. They always say he has two fights left on his contract. The plan was this would be the first of the two legs. And then he's kind of said this week, who knows what happens. You know, I haven't thought about it, but I'm sure certainly it could be the last one. But obviously the plan was for two. But again, that's only because he has two fights left in his belt or contract. Who knows what happens after, you know, who knows? Maybe it's not over after the next fight, but on paper, it does feel like a fight with Bader would be a cool last fight to go out on in a big venue, but you never know with this guy. He's retired twice before, I think. So you never know with Fedor.
Let's bring DC out of retirement. Fedor versus DC. We always wanted to see it. Let's do it.
Someone in the comments literally just said that. Jonathan Ram, regular commenter, just said DC versus Fedor. Make it happen.
Or you do Fedor versus Pujanowski and just do a free
show. Oh, after tonight?
Free show fight.
KSW, please. Get on that.
Co-promotion. Let's go.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do it.
Please.
Okay, real quick, to the commenter who put Fedor versus Verdum rematch, great suggestion, but you're going to have to change your screen name if you want me to put your comment on the screen. I'm just saying.
What is it? Clean it up.
I'm not going to say it.
It's obscene.
It's obscene. It's an obscene screen.
Okay. All right.
It's a kind of name that Esther Lynn would find funny. Let's put it that way. That's how you know how appropriate it is. Not appropriate.
It's Esther's burner account. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be.
Unless I mean, there was a crazy upset. It was kind of a freakish crazy upset in the co-main event. I mean, we can always talk about Usman and Nurmagomedov's massive upset.
Soma looked good, though, by the way. Soma he might have been on his way to winning a decision anyway. So it did end in a weird freakish like finger injury. I think he might have been able to been, excuse me. I can't talk anymore. I think he might have been about to win a 29-28 score. He was chopping Minnikov down with some calf kicks and stuff. So yeah, he gets
in
kind of
Russia?
A weird finish, but if it had gone to the judges, who's to say? I should check the I should check the Bellator card. I think they did put up the cards, so let me see. But yeah, that was weird. That was a very weird co-main.
And a massive upset from Usman Nurmagomedov, as high as a -7,000 favorite come fight time. But he gets it done in the first round, as expected. He got his showcase moment, and there you go. There's some good prelim fights, from what I understand. I didn't watch them, but I'll have to go back and watch them later.
Our girl, Darina, she got her butt kicked. Awesome. Yeah, she did not look too good.
She did not look great. Guys, I'm starting to think that fight where she beat up a 529-pound guy, that fight might not have been on the up and up. I don't know about you guys. I hate to be like – I hate to be that guy. But now I'm starting to think maybe that
How
fight
dare
was
you?
Legit. 10-4. And the fact that after she won the fight – they laid him out in the middle of the ring and they posed around him like he was like just like a rhino they shot, you know, just like posing like with a big game hunt.
Regarding the Selma Minnikov thing, two judges had it tied going to the third, and one judge had it Minnikov up 20-18. So I think Selma might have won a split. I think he might have gone on to win a split.
All right,
okay. I don't know.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Shall we go to the peeps?
All right, peeps, throw your question. Sorry. All right, what do we got here?
Spam your questions now, people. Spam your questions. Now is the time. Spam the questions, please.
The other heavyweight fight tonight, which I did not see.
Oh, Rico Verhoeven, yes. Wasn't he losing that fight? I didn't watch it.
So
just Twitter is telling me he lost the first round.
Yeah, I just heard it was a good fight.
I believe Gokhan Saki won as well. Damn, AK. All right.
AK, for our podcast listeners, can you read this?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Man in Black, saying, damn, AK Lee looking sexy. Well, you know, I don't like to brag about it, but I'm wearing a nice shirt right now. I'm wearing a nice shirt for today's MMA festivities for Fedor's. I feel this is an appropriate color for Fedor. I think Fedor would appreciate this. It's very bland. I'm wearing a tan. It's a very bland tan shirt. And that's what
I should have worn my Fedor sweater. I should have worn my Fedor sweater.
You know, on my screen, it kind of looks like, because your shirt is kind of flesh colored. It kind of looks like you just decided, you know, just jump out of the shower and just, you know.
I'm just topless. Yeah. I think that might be why. Maybe that's what Man in Black is seeing as well. Maybe that's why he thinks. No, I'm wearing clothes.
What else we got?
This is more of a comment. But in general, have you seen fans kind of maybe turn on Costa? Like, you know what? Whatever. He missed weight, but I'm still a fan. What's the general consensus you've seen from kind of the users out there?
I don't think there is one. I don't think there's a consensus. I did a lot of people who were. I mean, there was certainly a vocal part of the fan base that was like, this guy's an idiot. You know, people who probably already didn't think too highly of Paulo Costa. And like, this was just the latest slip up and it was so high profile. But I did see a lot of people that were kind of took somewhat our more lax attitude towards it. We're just like, what's the big deal? They're stepping into the cage anyway. Now they don't have to cut the extra weight. So I think it was split. I think it was a little bit split. I think there was quite a bit of support for him still. Even if people who don't like him, who were just like, kind of shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, whatever, they changed the contracts. Okay, fine. He 20% fine. Okay, fine. He's going to move up after probably. Let's move on with it. So yeah, I think there's been a good discussion around it. And I think there's been fair points on both sides. And I think the MMA community has been very good about their discussion of this topic. So well done, MMA community. Well done.
I'll say this. I wasn't the biggest fan of, just as a fan of Paulo Costa, but like he gave us so much to talk about for this fight week, and Yeah, that's, I don't know, from a journalist perspective, that's all I can ask for. Otherwise, I was like, yeah, two really good dudes. Let's see who wins.
I'd say most people kind of feel like Vettori fails. It's just like, yeah, it's kind of an a-hole, but
yeah,
great fight. Thanks for the fight, bro.
Thanks for
the
fight, bro.
That was part of it. I think like, well, if Vettori doesn't have a problem with it, then I'm not going to have a problem with it. I think that was a lot of the stance that people took. And that's it. And that's fine. I don't blame anyone for thinking that way. Just, all right. Life's too short. Life's too short to stress about stuff like this, right?
Yeah. I feel like we get this question every time Bruce Leroy fights. Yes. And the answer is yes. And I think it's been the answer the last three fights he's had. Like, he should fight a top 15 guy at this point. Like, come on. That was a top – like, Sung Woo Choi is a very good fighter. Like, a very good fighter. And there's a reason I'm the only one that picked Alex Caceres to win this fight. It was a flyer that I was not confident with, but it was worth a look because Caceres just needed to weather that early storm, and he's dangerous every second of the fight, and it showed in this one. So, yeah, he definitely deserves a top 15. No more – like, I think he's played the gatekeeper role, the quote-unquote gatekeeper role, long enough. It's time to see what he can do. Let's throw him in there with the top 15 guy and see what he's got.
So Paul Felder said during the broadcast, man, it feels like we've been watching him. It's his 25th UFC fight. And he's like, if he's only 32, it feels like we've been watching him for like 10 years. And it's like, we literally have been watching him for 10 years. Most of us anyway, his UFC debut was in 2011. So maybe there's some people who have been watching him before that. But it's crazy how long he's been around. He's been around and very active. There was not like some long stretch where he didn't fight. I think he's like at least two fights a year. I'm not looking at his record right now, but 25 fights over 10 years across two divisions, very competitive in almost all of them. There's maybe like the random Crone Gracie fight, which is a bad like style matchup for him. Other than that, he's been in it. So I don't know, what a unique role this guy plays in the UFC hierarchy right now.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his entire record in the UFC. It's just really unique.
There's no one like it.
Unique. I mean, but looking at it, it seems like the only top 15 fighters he's even really faced have been Yair Rodriguez, who he lost. I'm pretty sure Yair was ranked at that time. He lost a split decision to Yair, which is really impressive, honestly. And he got his butt kicked by Uriah Faber. When this is Uriah Faber in 2014 at his prime, pretty much, or near his prime. So I can't think of a exact person who he should face, but. I don't know. Maybe he got a little secret. He's a little secret Jim Miller kind of run. You never know. I don't know.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't have quite the names on his resume like that Jim Miller has, like relatively speaking. But I see what you mean. Like, he's just a guy who's around who they can throw in with anyone. But Mike's right, though. Let's give him a bit more of a veteran name opponent this time.
Yeah.
If you look at the top 15, there's a nice mix. Maybe he gets the Bryce Mitchell fight. Who knows?
Oh, that is a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
Where does Paulo fight in the rankings at 205 in his first fight? This is such an easy answer. This is such an easy answer. And it's not a ranked guy, but it's an easy answer.
I don't have an exact name. You go, Mr. Heck.
Go ahead, Heck.
Iwan Kuchalaba. That is the fight to make. Just
going
throw
full
those
crazy.
Two. Yeah, just throw those two behemoths in there and just let them throw them bolos at each other. And we got a different we got a different kind of Iwan Kutalaba. We got wrestler Iwan Kutalaba. So could have a little technique going on here. I think that's the fight. You just throw those two dudes in there. That's a co-main event on a fight night. That is a main card opener on pretty much any pay-per-view. That's the fight to make. You're not throwing him in with a top 15 guy. You're not rewarding him for the weight miss and just throwing him into it with the rank guy. You're throwing him in there with the dangerous fun fighter and if he wins it, then you can shoot him up in the rankings and give him somebody else. But I think that's a great first test for him in his new official weight class.
You have chosen violence today. My goodness. Yes, that is wild. That's a light heavyweight matchup I didn't know I needed until this moment.
It's an Otno spoiler.
I love preview.
Stock up, down on Grant Dawson. It's down in my eyes. It's down in my eyes. You're the biggest favorite on the card. You're supposed to roll
the biggest favorite?
Biggest favorite on the card.
Oh, wow, that is down. That's down. Yeah,
co-main event spot, new division. Grant, and listen, and I don't say this disrespectfully because there are very few people that cover the sport, who has been as high on Grant Dawson as I have been for the last 6 years.
This is true.
I've seen this guy in the UFC for a long time. Like, just knew one day he would get there. I was high on him when he fought for Titan FC for Victory. He had some kind of personal issues that he overcame and then just kept on winning and winning and winning, winning. The guy is a monster. He's at a new weight class. I think he's at a perfect spot in his career right now. But I think while his stock might be down, I think when you look at the overall story of Grant Dawson and his career and where he could go, this is going to be the most important night of his career. That fight with Ricky Glenn, that third round, that is going to be everything for him. Everything changes from here. It's going to be a very pivotal moment in his career. So while his stock goes down, I think he needed this fight. It's better to have it now than have it three fights from now when you're fighting a top five guy. My thoughts.
Yeah, it definitely didn't go up. That's the thing. If we had to choose either or, then I would stay down. It sounds a little harsh, but if it's either or, I mean, it was a draw. Technically, like, the easy answer is to say it didn't change that much, but it didn't go up. I don't think there's any way to say that Grant Dawson's stock went up today.
I don't know what you're saying.
Sorry about that.
What am I?
That's me.
Oh, I thought I was muted.
I heard you, AK.
AK, I don't know what you're saying.
That was so uncomfortable. Casey?
It's so weird how those last 10 seconds of that fight might completely change Grant Dawson's career in a sense. You know, in a sense that if, say, he struggles out of it, or as soon as the bell rings, he just hops up like, I lost that round, but I won the fight, then we're kind of looking at this totally different, you know. Or just say if he's actually out and the ref just stops the fight, you know, right when the bell rings, go get up, and he loses that fight, but he gets to draw. I'm just saying it's just like so many things in this sport where, like, just so many things, you know, your career can jump off or just kind of really stall. And unfortunately for Dawson tonight, this was as good as bad as a loss, honestly. Money-wise, is a loss. I know he doesn't get the loss on his record, but I was like you, Heck. I was really sold on Grant Dawson. I thought he was a future top 10 guy. But the fighter we saw tonight, that wasn't there. Maybe it was just an off night. Or maybe we just really underestimated Mr. Ricky Glenn, but definitely down on Mr. Dawson. And this was a showcase fight for him. I mean, co-main event on a fight night card. I mean, for a guy who doesn't really have a big name, this was an opportunity, and it's a bummer for him.
Yeah, can we give some love to Ricky Glenn? Because this guy's the definition of a seasoned vet, and he's facing a young horse in Grant Dawson, who, again, normally when he gets people to the ground, I mean, the dude's a killer. And certainly, again, he showed some of that today. But Ricky Glenn's the kind of guy, again, he's not going to panic. He's going to weather the storm. He's not going to gas himself out, you know, trying to do stuff he can't do, and he, you know, he knows how much damage he can take. And he survived and managed to get a draw out of it. So a lot of credit to Ricky Glenn, who, again, is not, you know, whatever. He hasn't had a great, like, run. He just can't seem to string together wins. But he's just always in almost pretty much every fight. And he was the right test for Grant Dawson at this point in his career. And I guess we can just say that Grant didn't exactly pass with flying colors.
Yeah, this is huge. This was huge. He's 27. He's got a long way to go. He's got one of the best coaches in the game in James Krause. He's like James's star pupil and has been for a long time. But let's not forget, 2 weeks prior to this, he was supposed to fight Diego Ferreira, a top, I think he's the 11th ranked guy in the division now. So what this tells us is, one, lightweight, don't you forget how deep this is, because it's a very deep division. And two, when Grant being 27 years old, he's still got a long way to go. I think he's learned now, like, yes, you want to be the champion. You're going to keep clawing away until that belt gets wrapped around your waist. But now you know there's no need to rush. You don't need to rush into a top 15 fight. The Fajeda fight was a great opportunity for him. But had he fought Diego Fajeda, he might have gotten stopped in the third round tonight. He might have got stopped. I mean, who knows? Maybe that was too much too soon for him. Maybe the style was different. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think this kind of, like, signifies, hey, dude, you're very good. No need to rush. You're going to get there, but let's just slow down a little bit. Top 20, 25 guys. They Ricky Glenns, the Alexander Hernandezes, and Renato Moicanos of the world. Like, you should be fighting these guys. Win, start beating these dudes, then we can start talking about that. Grant's a very good fighter. He's gonna get there. He'll be a top 10 guy in the next 2 years, no doubt about it. But I think this is a very valuable fight for him, despite not winning it.
All right. And last question.
Last one.
No, ignore the name of the guy. Jeez, I didn't read it all.
Is this the one?
No, this isn't the one. This name isn't even that bad. The other one.
No, that was somebody else.
I'll throw it in Slack what the other one was.
This name would barely make Esther Lynn chuckle. This was not. No, this is not. No.
Look at your Slack.
Oh, geez. Okay. Okay. Now I get it.
Now don't report this to HR. Don't report this to HR. There was context to this. There's a context to this Slack message, by the way.
This isn't that far removed. It's just presented in a much nicer way. Was DC right about Fedor, or is he just jealous of Fedor's hot bod? Okay. So for those who missed it,
the first question is a little more relevant.
But we obviously know he's jealous, but that's not what we're talking about. Yeah.
Right. So basically DC said Fedor at best would be like, top 5, 6, 7 guy if he came to the UFC. Like, he wouldn't have been.
We said average. So that's like, not even.
Great. Yeah, he'd be an average heavyweight. He said anywhere from like 5 to 10.
How's being number 5?
I don't know. Whatever. It's hard to say. It depends like which version you got. The Strikeforce version that was going to come over? I don't know.
No, Fedor would have done great. Whatever. That's just, I don't know. That was a weird thing about DC. I think DC was trying to, I saw a few tweets later, he was trying to give Fedor some props and stuff. Yeah, it's just, DC talks a lot. You say some weird things every once in a while.
He's an ESPN take guy now. Let's be honest, and he has great insights. He knows more about MMA than any of us. But he is part of the ESPN sort of hot take system now, which is great. I think when you're it's fine when you're a broadcast, you're getting into broadcasting with ESPN. That's what they look for. But I do think he's been learning to speak in that very hyperbolic, conversation starting style that ESPN and other outlets encourage. So. Take these kind of things with a grain of salt. I don't think it's the most like well thought out argument when he says something like that. He wasn't like going in his mind one by one, like, oh, could Fedor beat this guy? Could Fedor beat this guy? And he wasn't thinking about that. He just made this make for a good statement that'll get people talking. And he's right. We're talking about it right now.
All right.
Okay. And we will talk no more. Okay. We are done. But don't worry, my friends. You will hear from me and AK tomorrow. On to the next one. And I believe that this episode will drop probably like 90 minutes earlier than it normally does. We got to record a little bit earlier. We've got things to do. It's a Sunday. It's football. All sorts of things going on. So we out. For Casey, for AK, I am Mike Heck. Hope you enjoyed the night of fights or the day of fights. Rising coming up a little bit later on if you haven't gotten your fill yet. So enjoy that. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G Podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.